minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome back to another episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast, the 370th episode. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum, who is doing double duty. He was on yesterday and today. And Ross, before we get started, you know, I've already told you this off air, but man, having you and Andy at camp this last week was just fantastic. Such good insight, such good content. So on behalf of Packers fans everywhere, keep up the good work, and we appreciate the heck out of you guys.
Hey, thanks, man. We had a great time. It was awesome getting to meet Andy three-dimensionally. We enjoyed each other's company, got to create some content and, you know, talk Packers football, which is something that he and I both absolutely love to do. And I hope that was obvious to everyone else, because I think the best content is usually created by people that are having fun.
Absolutely. And that's, football's back. That was really one of my biggest takeaways from this week, was just, man, it's like, you know, you've been wandering in the desert for 2 months and you get that first drink of water. It's so good. So good. So today, you guys really hit on your observations from camp yesterday. So I thought today, let's go more specifically and look at a specific part of the roster for the Packers, and that is their 2019 draft class. Just kind of get an update on how they're doing. You know, this is their first week in the NFL. Have there been any welcome to the NFL moments? What stood out? All that kind of stuff. So what I've done, Ross, is I have a list in front of me. I just did a Twitter search of all these guys. And I try to keep it pretty diverse, just get different opinions from different people. And if there are any tweets that stood out to me about what they're doing on the field, I'm just going to go ahead and read those. And I think it's good to get a bunch of different views, because anyone that's been to any practice ever, and I'm sure Ross, you could attest to this even from this last week, there's so much going on. You know, one person might see one thing, and you know, they're not looking at the next play and they see a bad play while that's missed. So a lot can be said about training camp. But overall, I'm pretty impressed with how the rookie classes look so far. So let's just go through this, just pick by pick. Obviously, the first pick the Packers had was the big edge guy, Rashawn Gary from Michigan. So three things that really stood out to me from three people. Number one, Aaron Nagler had a tweet saying, "No man as big and strong as Rashawn Gary should be able to move as fast as he does. It's truly frightening to see live." Kind of in the same vein, Ryan Wood, who you can follow at by Ryan Wood. In 11-on-11s, Rashawn Gary just came free on an inside slant, and I kid you not, I haven't seen a guy that big run that fast since Julius Peppers. Shot from a cannon would have been an easy sack. My goodness. Lastly, Lily Zhao said, "More praise for Rashawn Gary. This time it's from defensive coordinator Mike Pettine. Pettine, you love his effort. Sometimes you have to slow him down during the walkthroughs. That's a guy who the effort is there every play. He's going to make a lot of plays," end quote. So the theme I think you get from that, Ross, is one, he is big and he is fast. We knew that already. That was obvious if you watched the NFL Combine. I think a lot of people are trying to kind of temper their enthusiasm with Rashawn Gary just because of how we know he's an athlete. But the thing that's really interesting is Mike Pettine's quote. You've seen a lot of coaches say this already. I think he said it. Mike Smith has gone on the record saying it. Matt LaFleur has even said it, talking about his effort and how his effort's been really high. It's almost kind of like they know that one of the knocks on him, or one of the perceived knocks on Rashawn Gary, was his lack of effort. And it's almost like they're kind of throwing the middle finger to everybody and saying, no, this guy, he's an animal out there. You have to tell him to throttle down. So, Ross, you were there. Tell me about Rashawn Gary, these quotes. Does this stuff add up to you? And let's hear your two cents on the 12th overall pick, Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, as far as you can, you know, as far as you kind of dare, I think you have to be about as excited as possible with Rashawn. Andy and I got some guy all up in arms with us on Twitter yesterday, complaining that we were too high on Gary. And it's like, buddy, we're just telling you what we see. You know, there was nothing, no hype, no prediction. We just were saying what was happening. And you know, what Ryan Wood said absolutely did happen. I watched a couple of one-on-ones against tackles. I think he might have actually also competed against guards in some pass pro reps. But, boy, he just is as advertised. Now, I would guess that he was probably a fantastic practice player at Michigan. I would guess that there are, you know, every possibility that he continues to not, you know, show people what they want to see on tape and continues to kind of be a workout warrior, practice warrior, whatever, because what we're hearing out of camp and what I observed is not anything that's unexpected. What would be unexpected would be Rashawn to play extremely well, especially like in his first year as an NFL player, and to be consistently productive, because that's what was missing. I don't think anybody thought that there were basically any tools that were missing. I think Rashawn has every tool in the book, and I think everybody kind of knows that. But I just have to echo what everybody's saying. I was extremely impressed with Rashawn from top to bottom. I thought that he was everything you would have hoped him to be after taking him 12th overall, and I'll be happy to be wrong about Rashawn Gary. I've said that on a number of occasions. One of my greatest wishes in this life is to be wrong about Rashawn Gary, because if I am wrong, I think he has a chance to truly be special, because there basically isn't a player with a higher athletic ceiling in the league even.
Yeah, no, pound for pound, he probably was the best athlete in this last year's draft class. So that's what's very encouraging and exciting, like you already hit, is if he does pan out, you're looking at an all-pro type player. That probably will be the best edge rusher in this class if he pans out. He's got as many tools as anybody in this class. And on top of all that, he's probably bigger and stronger than most of the guys that are going to play edge. The other thing that I kept hearing about him that was encouraging was not only his burst on the outside, but when he did go move inside and he was kind of taking on those bigger dudes at the guard position, was his strength and how he was pushing those guys around. So you want to talk about the equivalent of, you know, a five-tool prospect. That is Rashawn Gary. So, yeah, and I know a lot of people are getting annoyed because people are talking, you know, and hyping him up, and they want to pump the brakes and say, hey, well, it's just practice. But you're absolutely right. So what? This is what's happening. Could he come out, fall flat on his face in the games? Oh, yeah, sure he could. But this is the first hurdle he needs to jump. He needs to clear, and he's doing it with ease. So I think it's okay to be a little bit excited with, you know, with common sense in mind. Yeah, he's still got to play a game. I get it. But that's Rashawn Gary, looking really good so far to start his first week in the NFL. Second first-round pick, the Packers. That was Darnell Savage, who, if you have been living under a rock and did not know, he did not practice at all this week because he had his wisdom teeth taken out. And a question for you, Ross, I don't know if you heard anything about this, but just something I'm thinking is, you know, with wisdom teeth, this is something you usually schedule well in advance, to get your wisdom teeth taken out. You get your appointment, you know, it's going to happen. It's something they tell you will need to happen plenty in advance. So it seems odd to me that why would you get your wisdom teeth taken out right before, you know, the week before training camp? Was this like an emergency situation, or do you have any idea?
I really don't. I don't think it's a huge deal. He seems to be observing everything that he's supposed to be observing. And, yeah, it's not the same as live reps, but this is a guy that was basically installed as a starter the day that they drafted him. And that showed in OTAs when he and Amos took the first team reps. Darnell Savage is going to start at free safety no matter when he arrives, when he's cleared to practice, in the sense that these guys there's no free safety position battle. And when he gets there, he'll get there.
Good stuff. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting. Hopefully he's back next week. But anyone that's had their wisdom teeth taken out knows that's not a fun procedure. That's kind of a crappy one to come back from. Second round pick, or was he the second? I don't know. The next pick they had. Elton Jenkins, the offensive guard center from Mississippi State. Not a lot said about him, Ross. Pretty much what you can pick up is he was running with the twos. And I think you said it perfectly yesterday when you and Andy were talking about him. The fact that he is not getting his ass kicked right now is probably a positive. This is one of the biggest jumps you can make in football, is coming in and playing interior offensive line. I mean, you are going from playing guys that are going to be, you know, doing this and that in their lives and not playing professional football to taking reps against, you know, grown-ass men day in, day out, every snap. So the fact that he is not embarrassed himself, I would say, is probably a pretty big positive. But unless I'm missing anything, Ross, did he do anything that stood out in positive or negative to you?
Not at all. I thought he was fine in the reps that he did take, whether it was, it doesn't matter whether it was team, whether it was one-on-ones. I don't remember him getting blown up. And frankly, until I can see some preseason reps, it's going to be extremely unlikely that I'm going to really have a great feel for what's going on with Elton. This, even one-on-ones, even team, really, with and I didn't have a chance to see full pads. I saw shells on Thursday, you know, shorts and shoulder pads and a helmet, but Saturday. But I didn't see the full pad of practice on Sunday. Andy would be a better guy to ask. Hopefully, you know, I'm going to return to practice on Thursday and go to family night on Friday. Hopefully Thursday's practice is a padded situation, because I doubt that family night would be, though I guess I don't really know. I haven't ever attended that event before. But with Elton, you're just happy that, like I said, you didn't hear that Tyler Lancaster, you know, ran him over, or that he missed a block that would have gotten Tim Boyle killed. You didn't hear any of that.
Good. Yeah. And, you know, with those guys, a lot of times they do kind of gain traction. And like you said, it's going to be we're going to need a much bigger sample size for all these guys, but especially for that interior offensive line. Another guy that we're going to need a big sample size for, and honestly, I don't have huge expectations for his rookie year, even though he was probably my favorite draft pick in this class. I love Jay Sternberger and what I think he can eventually bring to this team. I don't think he really stood out either way, but one thing that I did see interesting was Andy Herman, our very own Andy Herman on Twitter, said this about Jace. He said, Jay Sternberger is so much smaller than the rest of the tight end group. Looks like a JV player playing varsity. If he gets open and makes plays, it doesn't matter one bit, but definitely noticeable. I think it's also important to note that Andy had him on his standouts a couple of times. And I didn't really see why. I saw a couple people say he looked decent in drills. But can you expound on that a little bit, Ross? What did you see from Sternberger?
I didn't see a ton from Jace. I think one of the day that you're speaking of where Andy got excited was, that day I was gone, which was Saturday in the padded practice. It is noticeable, though. I mean, Jace is a wide receiver convert, I believe. And I think he played like wide receiver at KU. That didn't work out. Transferred to Texas A&M to play tight end. And that obviously worked out tremendously, as he was Pro Football Focus's number one graded tight end in all of college football last year, from a receiving standpoint. And I think that's going to kind of continue to be the deal, is that he's the move tight end. He's the flex guy. And, you know, he might be closer to Evan Engram than we ever even imagined, as far as whether or not he's one-dimensional. But if he makes plays consistently, it's not going to matter. You've seen guys like George Kittle, Dalton Schultz, and the list kind of frankly goes on and on. You can get the Y tight end later. And so if they do feel like Mercedes Lewis or Jimmy Graham aren't part of the long-term, you know, desires of the front office, then you can either pick up, you know, a Y tight end in free agency for relatively cheap. You see a number of them go cheap, as, you know, frankly did Jared Cook a few years ago, or Mercedes Lewis before last season. You can get the blocking tight end, or take him in round 4, 5, or 6. Take the blocking tight end in round 4, 5, or 6 next year. So I'm not concerned about the way Sternberger looks. I agree with it. I think a year in an NFL strength and conditioning program is going to be a huge deal for him, but I think he's as advertised as well. I have a little bit of concern about him, just in the sense that I thought he was a little bit quiet, and it's clear the team has Graham, Tanyan, and Lewis ahead of him, but that is sure to change, you know, as soon as next season.
Yeah. And another interesting tidbit about Sternberger, when he was at KU, they actually tried to play him at D end before he eventually transferred out of there, which is ironic because KU is such a dumpster fire of a football program that they have this All-American tight end that they couldn't figure out to play a tight end. So next, Kingsley Keke. Not a ton about him either. That's kind of a recurring theme with these guys, positive or negative. I'm just kind of going through Twitter. There was no tweets that I really wanted to highlight just because nothing really flashed as far as plays that he made. He didn't really make any splash wow plays. From the looks of it, though, it looks like he did look better early on with no pads. And then when the pads came on, he did not, you know, like the, which is the case for a lot of these guys, he did not perform as well with the pads on, Ross.
Well, and, you know, Kingsley's a defensive lineman. And what you're seeing this offseason, if you read between the lines, is, oh, guess what? Montrevious Adams looks awesome and is expected to get major snaps in year three. And that's something else I want to say about Sternberger. It's a very similar position. Not every draft pick is for the next season. And that's something that you're going to see with Jace. I don't think you should really expect a ton out of Sternberger until next year. And really, I don't think you're going to see peak Sternberger until, frankly, 2021. And I believe that the exact same can probably be said for Kingsley Keke. I think if he gets to where he needs to go, you're going to see someone who doesn't really get there until 2021. And you've seen Green Bay, frankly, unfortunately, give up on guys before it was their time. To a lesser degree, a guy like Kyree Thornton, who they thought, you know, basically couldn't play in the league, he stuck around the NFL for 5 or 6 seasons. And in a major way, Lawrence Guy is one of the best interior defensive linemen in all of football and has been for the last 2 seasons. That was a Ted Thompson draft pick that they just cut bait on. And lo and behold, year 3, year 4 in the league, he is dominant as a New England Patriot. Now, granted, the Patriots have an excellent coaching staff, specifically defensively, but just don't judge, you know, frankly, wide receivers, tight ends, and interior defensive linemen, I think, are really the top spots to just kind of leave them alone until year 3.
Yeah, and that does remind me of, you know, Mike Pettine had a great quote on Montrevious Adams, just talking about how I'm going to butcher it, but it was basically along the lines of Pettine said, you know, he knows I did not like him when he got here. I didn't like the way he approached the game, all that kind of stuff. And then he poured the praise on really heavy. So that's exciting. You know, I know we're talking about rookies, but if Montrevious can develop into a contributor, I mean, he's a very, very good athlete on the interior defensive line. So that's exciting news there. Next guy that they took, he's kind of turning into the darling of training camp after this first week, and that's Kadar Holman, the rookie corner. So let's see. I don't know who said this, but basically he was getting some first team reps with Kevin King at times. He's kind of turned into the guy. There's about 3 articles written on him already. And I know that's a lot of that's because he does have a really cool background and a cool story. I believe he was working at like a fast food restaurant for a while before he went back to school, just because he struggled academically, had to get his grades up, and then he finally got a chance. And it looks like after at least 1 week, he could be making the most of those opportunities. Ross, and I want to hear you talk about this because I've heard you talk about this a little bit, but just how seems like he's a very good scheme fit for Mike Pettine's defense.
Yeah, he's a really special player right now in kind of one area, and that's press man coverage. He was able to just eat up a couple of guys. My guy Shep, I don't know what in the hell they were doing, but he ended up at the X position on the outside against Holman, and Holman absolutely ate him up. And that's not Shep's role. Shep's a slot receiver, generally playing with guys off of his, you know, off of his body, playing in space against linebackers and safeties and nickels. But when he was asked to play outside receiver against Holman, it was a mismatch, and it was a mismatch in favor of Holman. He really gets into guys, man. And I think, you know, I said yesterday, he's the anti-Josh Jackson to me. He is a guy that you want to do absolutely whatever you can to get into press man coverage and leave him out of zone situations where he has to make reads, in the same way that you want Josh Jackson to not have to grab and do all the other crap he had to do last year as a nickelback, and you want him playing off zone coverage in a, you know, usually a cover three, sometimes a cover two situation. I don't know how well that meshes, you know. Like Andy said, maybe they could play a platoon, except that obviously, you know, a platoon would, you know, 100% give away what they're doing. But yeah, it's impressive to see a guy play that well at cornerback drafted that late.
And that's fun. That's, you know, with him looking like he's could develop, Tony Brown looking like he could take another step this year. Obviously with Josh Jackson getting into his second year, like that cornerback room has a lot of young talent. You know, we'll see if they're able to keep all those guys. That's such a coveted position in the NFL that even if some of those guys aren't playing in Green Bay, I would imagine they'll be playing somewhere. So that's going to be an interesting just room to watch, that positional group. Next guy on the list is Dexter Williams, the running back out of Notre Dame. I know Aaron Nagler came out and said he has a legit first cut, classic put your foot in the ground and get upfield in his game. And I think that's funny because I saw that a lot. A lot of people talking about his one cut ability. But then Zach Cruz tweeted a quote from Matt LaFleur basically saying, "I think Dexter's starting to learn what this league is all about. Early on, he was really struggling at pressing things and looking to cut back. If you're a pitter patter in the hole at this level, you're going to get hit in the backfield." So it's kind of, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I didn't say anything. I mean, but I think he might even just be tempering expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. And what were, I mean, how do you, I, did he look good? A lot of people said he had a lot of juice.
He's one of my guys from this class, man. I think who knows what's going to happen when it's time to pay Aaron Jones, especially if he has the season that I'm expecting him to have this year. Jamal Williams, obviously, his contract will expire at the same times that Jones's does. And in this league, in my opinion, you're not really constructing your roster correctly if your primary tailback isn't on a rookie contract. It's just from a wins and losses perspective, not important to have a highly paid running back. I think you can definitely see that when you look at the teams that are sort of there at the end of the year, Todd Gurley being the exception there that kind of proves the rule, but Todd didn't really have all that much to do with LA's success. And you saw that when they swapped CJ Anderson out for him and had basically nothing happen, you know, have no difference. And so that's something that I think you need to pay attention to moving forward, because I really think there's a chance that Williams is good enough to carry the load in 2021 or whenever Williams and Jones have their contracts come up.
Awesome. Yeah, no, he's a guy that seems that he really does fit what the Packers are going to want to do. Last seventh round pick, Ty Summers. Not a lot said about him. Andy did talk a little bit about him, saying he had a couple of nice run fits. But really with Ty, you're probably looking at a guy that if he makes the squad, it's going to be on teams. You know, think James Crawford last year. Can he bring something like that this year and hopefully develop? But did he do anything to really stand out either way to you, Ross?
No, and I think what stood out to me about him was just that Curtis Bolton is running ahead of him. Now, one thing that we did discuss is, and I don't know, you know, I think it used to be Jack and Buck were the inside linebacker positions when Capers was in charge. I don't know what the nomenclature is. I don't know what like I said, I don't know what the answer to that question necessarily is moving forward, but the important part is that it's potentially where you have Blake Martinez and then maybe he's backed up by 54 and then behind him is maybe Ty Summers and maybe Curtis Bolton is just the first string backup to Oren Burks and maybe those are the positionally. But as far as when the ones come in and when the twos come in, Curtis Bolton definitely comes in before Ty Summers. I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. And, you know, Curtis Bolton, friend of the podcast, if you haven't checked that one out, Andy had him on about a month ago. So pretty cool stuff. Ross, is there anything else before I let you go that you didn't hit on yesterday that you wanted to talk about today as far as what stood out to you?
Not really. You know, we've been to be honest, we've done two videos that are on Cheesehead TV. Andy and I did Pack a Day yesterday, and we've done this. I think the people have definitely heard what I have to say.
Awesome. Good. Well, Packers fans, football is back. We are going to have consistent Packers news until February. That's until then. So keep it locked in right here. I think we have as good a training camp coverage as anyone out there. So if you're looking for every day, you know, up to the minute updates, I know Andy's going to be out there again next week, not the whole time. Ross is going to be there again at times next week. So if you haven't done that already, turn on your notifications for some of these guys. You will thank yourself later when you get those real-time updates. Ross, thank you for joining me. As always, go Pack, go.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Good, Adams! 30, turns upfield, 25, cutting right to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Devontae Adams to the south end zone for the touchdown! Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A miracle. Pass left.
Yes!
In the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick. To the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of Green Bay Packers.